There are things I should do that I don't do. And defects of character are things that I do I shouldn't do. And the way he put it to me, he said, listen, in your own home, if there's a toothpick on the floor, pick it up. And I said, why should I pick a toothpick up? He said, if you don't pick it up, somebody else will have to. That was an introduction to me of how I live in a world with other people live. Other people could be my wife, could be you, could be anybody. And that I have a role to play in this world. And if I don't play this role, that means that I'm going to just let you go by. It's like holding a door open for somebody. You can hold a door open for somebody. Don't you feel better when you do, when they say thank you, they smile or something like that? If you didn't hold that door open, let it slam in their face. That's a defect of character. To hold it open, that's a shortcoming. I didn't fall short of the mark. I didn't lack to do something, I did it. But how about going farther? How about going in your own home? You know how I heard this? I heard this up at the San Lorenzo retreat. Here's a bunch of guys out in the kitchen. Maybe it could be one of you guys. And you're out in the kitchen doing dishes and pots and pans. We just got through eating up there. And I heard this one guy say, you know, he says, I wouldn't even do this at home. Can you believe that? When I heard that, I about died laughing. Thinking, here's a bunch of guys up there, just got through eating, and they're having a ball out in the kitchen out there doing the dishes. And the one guy recognizes the fact that there ain't no way he'd ever do that home. No way. What's that? Is that a shortcoming? You bet it is. How many times? I have a baby up in Sacramento where the garage door from the garage leads into the kitchen. And when he walks through the garage door into the kitchen, he said the first thing he looks at is the sink. You know what he looks for? Sink full of dirty dishes. So that he can holler. Not that he wants to do them dishes, see. He don't want to do them. He wants to tell her to do them. See, yeah. Shortcomings, I found out, are things that are there to do. Like we was talking with Vince there about picking up paper. There's a piece of paper laying on the floor. If you see it laying there, pick it up. If you don't, somebody else will have to. So you see, defects of character, this here shortcoming business, it makes a better man out of me. The way you do this, though, is farther than toothpicks and stuff like that. How about a guy out in the street, maybe hits you up for a buck? How about a guy out there, and you figure, nah, the hell with him. He looks stronger than me. He probably make more money than I can make. Stuff like that. But how about a shortcomings for other reasons? How about driving your car on the freeway? How about letting the guy that's got his turn signal on or doesn't have it on pull in front of you so he can get off or get in the next lane? Why do I have to speed up and not let him in? See? How about shortcomings anywhere you want to look right here at this meeting here tonight? See? To be considerate of somebody else. To help them. To do for them something. And then it makes you feel good inside of yourself because you did this. This is character building. This is step 7. To humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings means only that I want to have a relationship now with the world I live in, with people. I want to be somebody in this world that I never could be before because I'm too selfish, self-centered, me first, never looking at you, never realizing you might have trouble. Maybe you had a bad time at work today. Maybe you got a health problem. Maybe you should be thanked and helped. Instead of that, no, I'm too wrapped up with me. There's no way I can see to do that. There's no way I can feel that empathy at all. None. But there is. This is the reason why on this step 7, if you notice on step 7, it ends on page 76 in this book here. And then you look on page 64, and they both say the same thing. They both mean the same thing. And what it says in there, it talks in here in 64, it says, having been granted a perfect release from my alcoholism, why then couldn't I be granted a perfect release from any other difficulty or defect of character I could possibly have? That's the riddle of my existence. Perhaps the full answer lies only in the mind of God. That's on step 6. Step 7, when it ends, talks the same way about being granted from a disease, about a malady so deadly. On 76, it says the whole emphasis on step 7 is on humility. It is really saying to us that we all now ought to be willing to try humility in seeking the removal of our other shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If that degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession could be banished, then there must be hope of same result respecting any other problem we possibly could have. Isn't that something? There's step 6 and step 7 telling you and I that this here God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. That this way of life here, in step 7 to me is a tremendous step, because you can take step 7 now in humility and carry it with you from this moment on. The next time that you hold a door open for somebody, they thank you. See what it does to your inside. The next time you see something and you act upon it and you feel good about it, see what that is. Just exactly what is that? Is that a relationship inside of yourself with yourself, or is that a relationship with a power greater than yourself, making you feel better because you acted differently? That you could add something to you, to this life. That you could be part of something now where you're giving instead of taking. That you could look at somebody and not find fault. That you could look at somebody and see that maybe that somebody has got big problems. Maybe that's why they said what they said. Can't you forgive them? That's what this is about.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Peter. I'm an alcoholic. Congratulations to Paul for his birthday, too. And it was interesting what, you know, when I first came to this meeting a couple of years ago, I was a scribe. I came here with a legal pad, and I wrote everything down that I could because I thought the solution would be in words. I heard Bob speaking, and he knew something that I didn't know, so I was going to write it down, take it home, figure out what it was. But I get a kick out of listening to Bob at times, and he'll hold up the 12x12 and say, it's just a bunch of words. And, you know, talking about the young ladies that are in the restaurant next to where he used to work and saying, well, I can go on over there. And I know a lot of words, too, and I could say, well, I love you. And that was what the last gentleman was talking about, what it's based on, you know. And what does it mean? I mean, I really didn't even know what the concept of love was all about. And it's only by beginning to, you know, to hit the mark that I'm beginning to understand. You know, it's like there's one of the books that Bob talks about is the Sermon on the Mountain. Inside that book on page 75, it talks about what we've all in our tradition of called like a sin, but a sin is like missing the mark. It's like not getting to the point of what it's all about. And it speaks about missing the mark of having God in our life or having the Spirit in our life. And, you know, I've spent my whole life missing the mark, believe me. I can plan on Monday what I'm going to do on Friday, and I, with the best of intentions, you know, I'll have spiritual principles on Monday, or I'll talk to somebody and I'll have this all lined up in my head. What's going to happen on Friday? But the thing is with me, see, when Friday comes around, I'm beginning to understand that I then go back into self. Now, because I want to have it happen exactly the way I thought about it happening on Monday. And that's going into my self-thinking again. That's not me allowing or being certainly being open-minded to allow God to be there, or that Spirit to be there at that time. And, you know, that's the thing that has fouled up my life endlessly. And but now that if I, you know, by accepting that principle, that spiritual truth that God can be with me, or that Spirit can be with me at that time, that I can avail myself of a power that is greater than me. Because if I just have that power on Monday and then I take me into it on Friday, I'm back into my illness. I'm back into my sickness again. And, you know, and then I go through that, the endless cycle of here's more pain, here's more suffering. Because this is what I do when I am the authority in my own life. So thanks for sharing, Bob. Thank you.
You know, what Peter was talking about is what I was talking about in the beginning, is that I had a real difficult time for a long time And I don't believe it was because I didn't have a relationship with the God. I came here by myself. I learned about a power greater than me I call God in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I don't think that that has anything to do with what I'm going to say now, is that the fact is that I didn't know how to live by that power, to use that power, or to think in terms of that being a power greater than any human power. Now, I know the word, you know, because I used to describe it. The word was G-O-D, God. And I know that as a ritual. Ritual means that in the morning when before I do anything, I get on my knees by the bed, and at nighttime before I go to bed, I have another ritual. I have ritual of thanking them on my knees. Now, in Alcoholics Anonymous here, to actually hear this here, what I'm talking about now, I think that it has to be described personally. Like, I'll tell you what happened to me and what I did. Now, whether that's not a direction for you to go, that's not something I'm telling you to do. But I think, though, that needs to be said is something about this, what I'm saying, so that you'll know, like I know, that there is some place or something to do that you're talking about, Peter, that I couldn't figure this out, is because of the fact that my mind goes so quick. I answer to everything instantly. I think ahead of time. I even prepare ahead of time, like he was going from Monday to Friday. Well, I go like that from this moment to forever. If, by myself, I will. But the point of this is to learn that the power greater than self, if I don't live now, now means now, by that power greater than any human power, by this God that I learned to call God, if I don't use that God now, I'll never use him. Boy, figure that out now. Now, this is something that I had to learn myself, because I'll walk right out that door out there, and I'll go out that door, and I've got God here reminding me to say God, talk to God, think of God. I have right here, by looking at you guys. And I ask this God to help me, all of us, to guide me, direct me, power me, your words, your works, all of us, be with us, to hear your message. But you see how quickly I can lose that is by going out that door. But I had to learn that as I go out that door, I can go out that door, and I can take this God, this power, that's helping me here now, right now, and I can take it with me out there in the car. But it has to be more than just telling you about it. So like I'm saying it to you now, that doesn't mean nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. Not a thing. But what does count is the fact that I can go out there and I can talk to and I can praise or thank or acknowledge a God personally, individually, me, doing it me. Now that's what Peter's talking about there. That it took me some time, because nobody would tell me how to do this. I'm not telling you how to do this. Believe me, I'm not. I'm not telling you to do it at all. But I'm telling you how I had to struggle for so long, just on my knees in a ritual, or by name, by saying his name, God, and thinking that's a relationship, and then I can walk any way I want to walk, think any way I want to think. Because I prayed to a God in the morning, and prayed to him at night, or I acknowledged him by name? No. I must have this living God in my life, just like the book talks about, like this step here talks about, like step two talks about, step three says that I myself, in the light of my own circumstances, have to develop this quality of willingness. When I develop this willingness, that's an act of my own will. In other words, the act of my will is make a decision to turn my will of my life over to care of God as I understood him from two. Now, that's a different story. Now, I have something with me. It's an act of my will. It's not an act of AA. It's not an act of buildings or readings. It's an act of what I do inside. It's an act of my will to call upon, to praise, to thank, to acknowledge God, his presence, not my presence. And thank you for making the meeting go tonight. It's been a real good meeting. After a moment of silent meditation, we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Keep coming back.
It works if you work it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hey, Bob. Hey, man, how you doing? Good seeing you here tonight.